Blog Talk Radio.
Convictions to Zero Redemption by Stephen L. Bobo.
Okay, Mr. Bubbles has some technical difficulties. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for Blog Talk Radio. Today we have a couple guests. As soon as Mr. Bubble gets back in, I'm waiting on for him to give me a heads up when he's back in.
All right, Mr.
B,
you.
Go ahead.
Hello, JJ. Go ahead and go. Let's rock it. Go.
All right, my name is Leroy Howard. I was sentenced. Well, I went to jail in January of 2003. I was sentenced in 2005 to 110 years. I have 11 charges. On 8 of those charges, 11 of them was sentenced outside the constitutional bounds. On 8 of them, I was sentenced. It was only supposed to be to 20 years, and they gave me 25 on all 8 of them. And so, to me, that is overly an unjust sentence. I just would like to reach out to people that's been out there, that's been through these things, that's going through the same things, that have loved ones. We need to speak out against this. And I ask by signing my petition, letting people like us know that people out there hear us, that they're fighting for us, that we do have people out there that love us and support us. And that's what I would like to see done with my petition, by getting people to sign it, and it lets me know. And then I can also share it with others around, to where they can do the same thing and have their loved ones do the same. I'm a real big guy on advocacy. You know, not only am I being here, I would like to stop people from coming as well. And I just would like to see these injustices done, you know, something about it. You know, these things happen all the time, every day in our justice system. We've been number one in Oklahoma for the longest, and I'm a part of that, and I'm trying to do something to turn it around. I'm not that same person that I was 18 years ago, and I deserve a second chance. And I believe with people fighting out there in our communities, believing in that, they'll see that I really have changed and I'm not that same person.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, man. I was incarcerated myself and also was ex-correction officer, but never looked at that time. I looked at 15 years, but they knocked me down to serve 3 years. And like I said, 15 years inside of the institution, that's enough. That's too much, and then you got more, and then you got way more than that. And I pray that everybody does sign your petition. I signed it. I know the people in my organization signed it, because that is unjust.
Yeah, I sure appreciate that.
No problem, man. Like I said, I posted out there. Everybody who I know, I do know a lot of legal people, and I try to get in contact with them and to see if somebody can even just look at your case. Just look at it. You know, just look at it, you know, because that's what people need, is we just need somebody to see what's going on.
Yep, definitely. Definitely. And that's why I'm hoping with this podcast we can get it out there for people to see and open up their eyes, you know, that this is happening in our face every day. You know,
every day. And that's the point. Yeah, you're right. And that's the point, man, that people do need to understand that this does happen. We're just not picking people at random. This is a gentleman that I talked to, the people in his family, and I read it. They told me everything that happened. And, you know, and I understand that stuff happened, but you know what? You constantly keep doing this to people. You're railroading people, especially our African-American people. You're railroading us. And I hate to make it a black thing,
yeah,
but good Lord, it's a black and brown thing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Simple fact is that we're like the guinea pigs. We have to get tested first. And I think that's ridiculous,
yep,
because you have done your time. There's no need to overcharge you. Why overcharge you?
Not at all.
And you know, and we can tell by the way you talk. You know, you'll be up there to make a difference. And see, here's the thing is, some of these guys have been locked up so long, they don't know what to do when they get out because things have changed so much. Heck, people who've been out, people who are still in here, in out the system, and just live regular life, they changed on us so much. Because I know I was only, like I said, I was only in there for 3 years, 2 years, and things have changed in 2 years that I didn't even know. And I wasn't institutionalized, but I have patterns where now that I still do now. My female friend now, she tells me I do stuff now because I hate to have the doors closed. When I walk down the street, I walk with my arms behind my back like they taught us in CRC. And, you know, you couldn't walk your arms fair. You have to walk your arms behind your back, and I still do it. And it's not, you know, it's not fair. It's not fair. And so that's the stuff that people need to understand, that you are almost brainwashed because they take everything from you and make you go by their rules. Just, like I said, it's another life inside the penitentiary. It's a whole other world. And then when you go for that long and then you come back, when you come back, you expect you to walk by these rules. You can't walk by the rules of society once you've been locked, when you've been incarcerated that long. It's hard.
Yeah.
And that's how they get you in the trap because they're going to say, well, he's not going to know how to do it. That's when they look at you. I'm going to leave the CRC. They say, oh, you'll be back. I told them, I said, no, I'm not coming back. But you know what? There's so many brothers who do say that. I'm not coming back, and they do come back. But that's the trap.
Yeah.
And
Leroy has so much family support that, unfortunately, a lot of other people don't have. So he's got people here to help him and guide him and, you know, help him reacclimate to the world that we live in now, because it is completely different than what it was when he went away. And you're right, I hate to make this a race thing as well, but if you go and look at the commutation list, just the commutation list that comes out every month, if you look at people with similar charges in him as that he has, it unfortunately, he got the short end of the stick, and I think that a lot of it has to do with the color of his skin, because you look at somebody that is white, that has the same charges or similar charges, they have a tiny fraction of the time. You know, you see somebody in there with 9 years or 14 years or something like that compared to his 110. Where's the justice in that? There is no justice.
There is no justice.
He's given his life because he signed a deal because he trusted his attorney and the prosecutor who presented this deal. They know, no, the judge always does what we want. And then the judge turned around and gave him basically a life sentence without saying life. I mean, that's what he got.
Yes. And people don't understand that when you get years like that, that is a life sentence. Because you can't die two or three times and come back and do 25 more. That's no possible way. That's if people will believe that, that's idiotic, because that's not going to happen. And that right there, that's crazy, because you have people out there waiting for you to come home. And, you know, even though we do make mistakes, we all make mistakes. Even though some people make mistakes, when I was a CEO, go ahead.
He's not going to make, I mean, just like most things and any other people, he's not going to make the same choices and the same decisions, the same mistakes now as a 40-year-old man with grown children and grandchildren and a different type of life that he had when he was 20 and 21. You know, he has had the opportunity to grow and change and learn from his mistakes. And I don't want anybody to say that he's asking for something that he's not entitled to, because he did his time. He admitted to his his part in what happened, and he's taking responsibility for that. He's not asking anything that he's not owed. He's just saying, can you just give him some justice? That's it.
And that's exactly what he needs, and I say that all the time. People need, you need that type. You need justice. You need justice. There's no justice in the system now. I went to a thing today in Columbus, Ohio, protest on the state building, and like I said, they, people don't even come out to even see what's going on. The people inside them buildings, I'm talking about the courthouses, the judges, the governors, the senators, all them people, they don't come out and try to see what's going on in the outside world. You just hear what's going on in the outside world, and what goes on in the outside world completely is different than what you hear. I need people to understand that this young man needs a time to get out and be with his family. He needs to reconnect. And that right there is going to be a battle within itself, because you have to learn how to reconnect with people again. It's like being born over again. And that's what people don't seem to understand. Reconnection is the main thing of making people, how can I say this, make it better for people who are getting out of prison. You have to reconnect. And it sounds like you have people who are in your corner. And so it would be a whole totally different story if you had nobody in your corner. If you have people waiting for you, then why not give him the chance to come home?
Right.
Definitely. And that's all I'm asking for is a second chance. My first offense, they gave me 110 years, not even just, you know, not even a wish to even get better. You know, in this prison system, man, it's not no rehabilitation. This is supposed to be a rehabilitation camp. This is not rehabilitation at all.
No, it's
not. There's no rehabilitating, being locked. Yeah, there's no way if they can't, especially now during COVID, during this pandemic, they've taken away any opportunities, any classes, any programs, anything, what little that they did provide has been taken away. They lock them in these cement boxes with no air conditioning, you know, horrible food, barely provide the basic needs. He can't go and get Tylenol or, you know, something like that without having to pay for an arm and leg for, you know, a couple of pills.
That's what it is. And you're right. And people don't understand that it's just not fair. Inhumane. People don't understand. When you're inside the walls with no air conditioning, it's not like walking outside where you can open up the window in your house. You might have a window in your cell, but you're usually in the middle of nowhere. There's no trees. There's nothing to block no sun. You're right. It's unbearable. That's 100-some degrees in a cell or more. And you're in there sometimes with another guy. And the water, you got to stay in a cell. Both y'all sweating, and it stinks. And, you know, and that's what it is. And there's flies and bees all inside the thing. How can you deal with that? It's just, it's not, you don't treat your dog that way. So why you won't treat a man like that or a woman like that?
Exactly. And my question is, at this point, I mean, this is on a way higher level, but if Trump thinks it's okay for him to let his friends out of prison because of the pandemic, friends, these white collar people, I don't know what they did, but you know, it's okay for them to get out, but it's safe. He deems it safe for our husbands to be there. It's not any more safe for my husband to be there than it is for his friends to be there. So why are they getting out?
That's true. And most likely the ones that are with him, don't get me started on that man in that White House, because the ones that are friends with him, they're probably not even in the prisons that our loved ones are in. They're in, they're in cupcake camp, what I used to call it, cupcake camp. You're not in a cell that's going to be where we're at. You're not in that type of prison cell.
Not at all. You're
right.
They probably got real beds in their prison.
No, man, don't talk about the beds, man. I was a real beds, ain't nothing nice. Ain't nothing nice. I'm a big dude, man. So when I was laying on them beds, it's like I might as well just been laying on a metal crate on the floor. There was no socket, no support whatsoever. You sharing, you have to share in the car wash. And people don't know what the car wash is. The car wash, when you're in a shower with a bunch of different men.
Yeah.
And you know, and then you want to know why some of these men be on the down low when they come home. You know, there's a whole other show. I don't want to say that. But that's what it is. It's crazy, man. I told my girl, I said, man, I said, when I shower now, I'm like, oh, yeah, my door's always shut. I don't leave my door open because I don't know who's going to walk in but just her. I don't. You're not going to walk in.
Yeah.
No. You know, you're scared now. That, you know, and that's that mentality now that you have because you're thinking, like, who's going to come in the shower with me? And I'm not saying that'd be funny, but that's what it, people don't seem to understand that. And you're right, man. You know, this thing has
to change. It's a real reality.
It is a real reality. That's why I do the pipeline for these kids. That's why I talk to these young kids to act a certain type of way. Because, you know, when they get sentenced to as an adult, when you do these adult crimes, they're going to sentence you as an adult. And then you're going to come to prison. You're 17, 16, 17, 18 years old, coming to an adult prison for grown men. And so you know what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
They're going to take you for everything. They're going to take you for everything you got. That's what's going to happen. But I tell you, man, you right now, I have to look up to you, man, because you're doing some things that I never did when I was inside of prison. I'm talking about I never had no time like that. But I got to give you much respect.
Yeah.
You're keeping yourself together.
I appreciate it.
You got to keep doing that, man, because you're trying to get home because your girl wants you home. You know, your family wants you home. They miss you. You know, we miss you, man. I never met you, but I feel your pain because I know what she's going through. Because I met her today for the first time. Actually got the chance to talk to her face-to-face over IMO. But she is a nice lady, and I can see the pain in her eyes when she talks about you. She misses you, man.
Yeah.
And like I said, you'd have to get home. People need to understand that. It's not about relationships between a husband and wife. You need a companionship. And you can only get companionship through a phone call and a visit. You know, you just can't do that.
Can't do it, not at all.
Nope. It's not psychological.
I got kids, grandbabies out there. I need to get out there to them.
That's right.
I got a whole life out there waiting on me.
That's right.
Well, I can't even say waiting. I got to say that they going on without me because, you know, being gone 18 years, you know, I've never held any of my kids.
Wow.
That's crazy, you know.
I can't say any of them.
When I had a year out there with my two youngest, but that was it. You know, now here they are, grown kids, you know, grown adults. And now I got to get out here and try to learn them all over, you know.
And that's what it is.
You got to learn those years.
Mm-hmm. And they got to learn you. And that's the big part. They have to learn you. And the same thing that they make you get away, they can't get away with daddy like they used to. They can't do that. Daddy knows too much now. But, you know, then again, they're going to say the main thing. Like my daughter used to say, I miss you, daddy.
Yeah.
But, daddy, you're not here. And that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right there, that's a punishment more than a judge telling you so many years.
Yeah.
You're away from your child.
Definitely. Yeah. When you go come home, man, that's right there.
Exactly. Yeah. And then when you walk and grow up through a picture, when you walk up, you watch them grow up through a picture. You can't, man, come on.
Yeah.
That's not right.
That's right. Not at all.
It is. You know,
I really appreciate this.
No problem, man.
Well, I really appreciate this opportunity, man.
No problem, man. Anytime you want to come on the show, let us know. Let Danielle know. She'll get y'all hooked up. But one thing, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, he filed for commutation. He requested that. Tell him what you requested, please, so I don't get it wrong.
Because like I have 11 charges and ranges from 5 to 25 years, and I have 4 of them that runs consecutive. But for the most part, I have 9, 25, a 15, and a 5. And so if I can just run them everything concurrently and get rid of these consecutive sentences, you know, I can just have 25 years, and, you know, I would still have to do some more years, but I'll be more – I can accept 25 over 110 any day.
We'd have some type of light at the end of the tunnel that way. And at this point, we're waiting for him to come up on the commutation list so that he can have a hearing. It is, I believe, I don't know for a fact how far away it is. I think we're still a month or two, maybe even more out before he becomes before he's on the commutation list, because in the state of Oklahoma, we got a new governor last year. As soon as he came into office, he started throwing people out, commutation by the hundreds. So when that started happening, everybody and their brother put in a commutation list, so now they're way behind. And
of course.
So Leroy's is how long? Close to a year, I think, that he's submitted his. So he should be coming up in the next few months. We're hoping that people will read his story. If you have questions, if you have concerns, if you're not sure that you want to sign it, you can always reach out to me. I will. I'm on Facebook. We have an advocacy page specifically for his petition. It's called Gina's Son. That was his mom's name. And if you can reach out to me there, I'd be happy to forward the petition to anybody who needs it or would like to read more. If you have questions or concerns, you're welcome to reach out to me and be happy to answer them. But we just need to get as many signatures as we possibly can in these next couple of months so that we can hopefully present this petition to the Pardon and Parole Board when it's his turn.
That's right. And guys, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand, if it wasn't on up and up and it was something really scandalous behind it, Bozilla would put his neck on the line for these people. Right now, Bozilla is behind them 100%. You know, I'm not saying as much. I'm not saying that I'm a celebrity. But right now, I want to help them because, hey, somebody helped me when I was trying to get out. So let's try to help these people, this young man, get out, to get back home to his family. That's the main thing. Think of the children. Think of his wife. Think of his mother. Think of his family who want to see him, not behind no glass, not behind no phone calls. They want to reach out and hold them and touch him and hug him and say, Daddy, I love you. I miss you. I'm there for you. What you need me to do for you? That's what they want. That's what they want. That's what they want. Because it's not fair. It's not fair for this young man that goes through life like this. You wouldn't want to go through life like this. It's okay. That's all we're here, Donna. Go ahead and let it out. It's okay. Go ahead and let it out. It's okay. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, this is definitely not no walking apart, man. This is some real life stuff going on in here, man, and then just to be unjustly sentenced like there and then living amongst the low like this, and it's not no fun place to be, man. And I just ask that, you know, you read my story and see that it is actually unjust that they how they treated me. And help me right this wrong by signing my petition.
Yes, everybody, just read the petition. Read the petition and read it with an open mind. That's all you got to do. Read it with an open mind. And first of all, if you read it and you don't understand it, like she said, inbox her. Ask her questions. She's opened up the book for you guys to come in to read. Open up your mind and walk in. Every time you hear stuff about people coming out of prison, it's not always true. Not every man that comes out of prison is a bad person. Sometimes you learn and change when you're in there. I changed when I was in there. That's right.
He made some mistakes when he was a kid, that's all.
That's right. That's right. Because I used to tell inmates, returning citizens, I used to tell them when I was in there, you know, I remember Christmas, I used to tell them, so at least they crying on the phone talking about how to miss their kids. I said, well, how you miss your kids? You acted a certain type of way. You deserve to be here. I said, I used to tell them that. And I used to tell people, so I'm one step away from doing it. And what did I do? One step away right in penitentiary. So I know how it feels. When you sit inside of the malls on Christmas, birthdays, Mother's Days, and you were sitting there and you just say, my life is going on without me. And it's not
right.
Mr.
B?
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. B? I just wanted people to understand that it's not just the returning citizens that are serving. It's their families that are serving, too.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Their families are serving time, too. And when it's an unjust sentence, it's a punishment for everybody. You've not just punished a person. You've punished a whole family.
That's right.
And I need everybody to read that petition. Because if you don't sign it for him, sign it for his family.
That's right.
All right. That's
because
all I have,
not even for me or – And if not even for me or my family, think about your own families, because I know that everybody in the world has somebody, a brother, sister, friend, schoolmate, somebody that they know that went to prison that they love.
Yep.
So this is not just for me. This is speaking out for everybody.
We've got these elected officials making decisions and taking liberties with people's lives that they don't take into consideration the fact that these kids are growing up fatherless. This woman is going to go to sleep every night because her husband is gone. And then, you know, there's so many women like me out there. I can name a dozen of them right now off the top of my head who we carry the weight of our families because they keep our husbands away from us. We haven't been able to see each other since the beginning of March because of COVID. Mm. So, I mean, it's just they are our families, our marriage, our life is in the hands of the system. And anytime they feel like it, they can squeeze and make everything hard for us.
They do. And that's what they do. They want to keep us on that rope. And it's that rope that we have to jump. And we're tired of jumping. I know he's tired of jumping because I'm tired of jumping for him. I understand it. But I will continue to fight for him because somebody fought for me. And that's all he needs is us to fight for him. Everybody who's hearing my voice and knows me, I fight. I'm bigger than the average bear, and I will fight to the death. But whole point is, I shouldn't have to because it's ridiculous. But I will.
Yes,
it is.
Yes,
it
is.
We got to. That's what keeps us going strong and keep us going from day to day is fighting.
That's right. That's right. So my thing is this, man, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep your head above water, man. I know it's hard to do that when you're inside there because you had the devil in there too. People don't realize the devil's in there too. Not every man who's in that prison is the devil. There's also the devil in there. There's good guys in there, good men in there. But there's people in there who want to see you fail because they see you about getting close to get out, then they're going to try you. They're going to try your manhood. And the only thing you have in prison is your word and your manhood. And anybody tries it, you defend it. And I get that. And people who don't understand that have never been inside a situation. It's gladiator school when you go to prison. It's gladiator school because you have to fight. You got to fight for your rights. You got to fight for who you are. You got to fight for your food. You got to fight for your TV. You got to fight for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it. And I do appreciate you coming on the show, man. But like I said, we will book you another show. And just get a hold of Danielle, and we'll get him right back on again because I want to hear some more, see how you're doing, and keep you up to date on what's going on with the process of you getting out, man.
Man, I appreciate y'all, and thank you very much
for having me on you. No problem, guys. No problem. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm here to do. If I got this platform, I open my platform up for anybody who needs to talk. And anybody who's listening right now, anybody have loved ones, anybody else hearing me talking, look my fan up and read his statement. Read what he's saying. Read what his girl is saying. Just listen. Oh. That's all you have to do. It doesn't take hard to read something. You're watching Cardi B and them shaking it up on videos. You can take that time that you watch her shaking, because she'll be back there later on doing the same damn thing. You can come on here and look and see what my man's talking about. You can see what man's talking about. Listen, just watch. You watch everything else. You watch Donald Trump talk about all kinds of bullcrap. You know he ain't about nothing. Listen to this man and the pleas for him to get home to his family. Do that. You owe yourself that. Make you sleep better at night when you're seeing that you're ready for something and you're helping somebody. You'll sleep better.
Yeah, all we do is, you know, all we're asking is that you read it over. If you have questions, I'm happy to answer anything that you want. And if after you've talked to us or after you've read his petition and you have a better understanding, if you still don't want to sign it, then we thank you for your time. And if you do want to sign it, then we're here to answer any more questions and appreciate any and all support that anybody can give us. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on, guys. We're about out of time. But like I said, I will be having them back on again. And we will definitely hook this up again. And by this time, I'll have some more time. Be going for hours instead of half an hour, because you can't do this in half an hour. You got to have an hour to preach, to tell people what you need to hear. And this is one thing, I'm going to continue broadcasting this on Facebook when I'm doing my live shows, and I will definitely plug it on my page. Danny will plug it on her page. My whole group will plug it on their pages, man, because we need you home, man. We need you home. You're a positive black brother who's inside them walls and to be home with her. His queen and his kingdom. He needs to be home.
You got it, man.
Definitely.
Thank you, Bo.
All right, thank you.
No, thank you, guys. No problem, man. Keep your hands up, brother.
All right,
you
too.
All right. Much love, everybody. Bozilla is out. Time to get off. I hate this because it's going to kick me off and cut me off. Guess what? 10 seconds. Bozilla is out. Check me out tomorrow. I'll be on for another show. Just come on in. Danielle, want to say thank you for your help. You know, you rock, girl. Appreciate
it.
All right, y'all. Bozilla out.